For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple.
Romans chapter number 4, let's pray and we'll read the text. Father, I pray that you would help us this morning as we come to this point in the service. Lord, I pray that you would open up your word to us. And Lord, help us to behold these wonderful things out of thy law. And Lord, may the truth come alive to us. Lord, there's nothing new here. Nothing new to illustrate or demonstrate or to shine a light upon, but Lord, it's thy truth. It's eternal. And Lord, may we see it in a new light, maybe in a newness today. And Lord, we thank you for the old ship of Zion. Lord, coming, you're coming in mercy. And Lord, to find us. And that you sent your Son, Emmanuel, God with us, for our redemption. This is your plan. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to see what you want us to see this morning through thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 4 will begin there in verse number 1. It says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found?" Of course, we know just a little background. Abraham is the father of the Hebrew nation. He is the father of our faith. He is one of the patriarchs of Israel, and the covenant that he had with the Lord was that in him, in his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And of course, through Abraham, we follow back all the way down through, and we come to the descendants, following his descendants, we find that Christ is the seed of Abraham. And of course, through Christ, we have salvation. And Abraham was before the law, before Moses, but it says in verse number 2, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture?" That's a question. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, whatever you work for, you are owed something. A wage, a reward. But it says, now to him that worketh, verse 4, is the reward not reckoned of grace. It's not unmerited, but of debt. And may I stop and say that God owes us nothing. Right. Verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are these whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man," these are the words of David, "blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." As we read this passage, we see a lot of terminology here that may need a little bit of explanation. But some of the terms that we see in this passage are actually terms of accounting. They're computing terms, if you will, if you kind of get over into this world of mathematics and accounting. Notice the terms. In verse number 2, we see the word justified. In verse number 3 and in verse number 5, we see that the word counted unto him, or accounted. The word counted is again an accounting term. We find in verse number 4 the word reckon. The word reckon, which means to impute or to count as. Also in verse number 4, the word debt. You understand the accounting terms we're seeing here. Verses number 6 and verse number 8, we see the word impute or imputeth, imputing righteousness to an account. And then verse number 7, we see the word forgive or forgiven, referring to debt. These are all accounting terms. How many of you deal with these matters, accounting terms, in your daily life throughout your day? Some of you work in that field. Brother Brandon is an accountant, I understand. And these are terms maybe that we understand. They may be older terms. We may not use them all the time, but these are terms that have to do with an account. I want to speak on this subject. The old account was settled. The old account was settled. If you took a hymn book and turned to page 451, would you do that? This is not scripture, but these are our hymns of faith. 451, the old account was settled. I asked the question, is your account settled today? 451, verse number 1, there was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper of that account, that book, and settled long ago. Down on my knees long ago. And it says, hallelujah, the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Look at verse 2. The old account was large and growing every day. Why? For I was always sinning and never tried to pay. In fact, had no way to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled it long ago. Verse 5, O sinner, seek the Lord, repent of all your sin, for thus he hath commanded, and thus he hath provided, if you would enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it. You settled it long ago. On my knees long ago, the old account was settled. I want you to picture, if you would, with me, a ledger page. An accounting sheet, if you will. And your name, as the song says, is at the top. This is God's record of your life. God's record of my life. What God sees when he sees me, not just my name, but the record that is below of my life. All the things that my life is made up of, it's the sum of all the things that I've done with the life that I've been given. Could you put your name at the top of this ledger page of your account today? We're going to look at what's found on your record. What's found on my record today as we sit here now? There's only two groups of people. We'll come to that shortly, but what's on your account? Is the old account settled? As you look at a ledger sheet, you find two columns. One on the left side we'll talk about for a moment. Let's look first at this left side of the account, which on the left side of the account is all of your debts. All of your debts. All that has been accrued by what you have earned. The debt that you owe. What you and I have deserved. And may I say, this debt is great. These debts are many. They're not financial debts. These are spiritual debts. They're sin debts. We're talking about this account. It's an account of sin. It is all of our demerit. A demerit, that which deserves penalty. that which is deserving of punishment. And as the song said, my demerits, my account, this debt that I owed, it was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning. And I would say I had no way, no way to pay. These are all of our demerits. Romans 3, 23. Look there, please. For all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short. If you stop there, we see that it is a deficit. You ever do your monthly figuring? And as they say, come up with more month at the end of the money? Came short. Came short. Your outgo exceeded your income. Your upkeep is your downfall, they say. It's much more serious than that when it comes to our sin debt. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no way to access Him. There's no way because of my sin to come into His presence. There's no way for me to get that debt cleared on my own. All have sinned. I'm talking about the left side of this column. It is my debt. Romans 5:12. Flip across the page. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Who was that? Adam. As by one man sin entered into the world. All of us are the sons of Adam, by the way, and we carry his sin nature. You may say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, the problem is we're still a person. The problem is we still are humans. We have humanity, and our humanity carries with it a depraved sin nature. Someone asked the question, how many times do you have to lie before you're a liar? And the answer was once. How many times do you have to steal before you're a thief? And the answer was once. How many times do you have to kill before you're a murderer? And the answer came again, once. How many times do you have to sin before you are a sinner? The answer is zero. You are born a sinner. By one man, Adam, when he sinned, he passed that sin nature to you and to me and everyone that will ever be born after him. All have sinned. As by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Cannot escape this debt that you owe. We cannot escape this list that is growing larger every day. On our ledger, our account, as God sees it. Galatians 5, we won't turn there, but it speaks of the works of the flesh. This is what I get when I do my best. All it is the works of the flesh. When I do my own good, it's said here that Abraham was not justified by works. That's his own labor, his own works. Because when we do what we work for, we get what we deserve. You go to work, you earn a wage, and you come home with a paycheck because you've earned it. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It's what we've earned, it's what we've worked for, but the works of the flesh are these. It says they are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They which do such things. What things? The works of the flesh. There's no way to inherit the kingdom of God in the works of the flesh. You may say, well, I don't do those things on that list. And just to make sure that none of our sins are left out, he says, and such like. There's no level, there's no depth, no limit to the depth of where our sin will take us. And you may say, well, I'm not doing those things outwardly. Well, where are you in your heart? How's that list on your account? Again, back in Romans chapter number 6, the wages, in verse number 23, of sin, Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. There's another accounting term, business, reckoning. The wages of sin is death. This wage, it's not something that goes in the positive side of the account. It's a bigger debt that is accruing day by day. And the wage of that sin is death. It's an eternal debt. To pay this debt, you and I, sons of Adam, to pay our sin debt, to pay it, we must spend an eternity in judgment in the lake of fire in hell to pay for it for eternity. It's an eternal debt. It will never end. It will never be satisfied. It will never be propitiated. That sin debt by you and by me, by the works of our flesh, can never pay for it in this life, and in eternity, burning in the lake of fire, will still never satisfy that debt. It's an eternal debt that you owe, that I owe. That's all on the left side of the column. All my debt. Let's look on the right side of the column. Let's see what's there on the other side under our name. Let's talk about all my credit. Not only all of our debt, and it is large, and it is growing, and it is great, but now on that right side, all of my credit, all of your credit. What do I get credit for? Well, I'm a pretty good person, try to be. Kind to my neighbors and give to the needy and do this and don't do that. And pretty good person. What do I get credit for, Lord, on this account? What's on the left side? All of your credit. And may I say, they are none. It is zero. You may say, that's not fair. You may say, that's not right. I've done good. The works of the flesh are these. We read them in Galatians. Let me give you some more scripture. Romans 3, verse number 10. We're talking about not our demerits now, but all of our merits, all that I should be rewarded for. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, Psalm 14, if you want to look it up. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There are none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Can it be any clearer? I have no merit before God. I have sinned and I have come short of His glory. have zero merit on the right-hand column of my ledger sheet. On my account stands for my merit, it is zero. I have nothing to give, nothing to offer. I have nothing that I have earned or have been rewarded for. There is none righteous. No, not one. He says in verse number 12, they're together become unprofitable. Do you see all of these accounting terms? Unprofitable. Reminds me of a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus. Do you know him? Paul's friend. Paul met him, won him to Christ, but he was a runaway slave. And he sends him back with a letter of redemption in his hand, of emancipation in his hand to his owner, Philemon. The book of Philemon is this letter that he's got in his hand. And he sends him back to his owner with his own emancipation proclamation in hand. And Paul says, I want to talk to you about Onesimus, writing to Philemon. Onesimus, to you, in time past, he was unprofitable. That's the words that Paul used. You know what the name Onesimus means? It was a slave name that meant profitable. He was beneficial. He was profitable. It was a name to honor a good servant. But this Onesimus, this profitable servant, had stolen from his owner, from his master. I'm not justifying slavery. This is a whole different time and day. We understand indentured slavery and all of that is different. But he had stolen from his master and ran away. It was a crime that was punishable only by death. It was a death sentence. And here we have a man named Profitable who Paul is writing to Philemon and saying, I know he has to you been unprofitable. Unprofitable. No merit. No credit. He is worthy of death to you. But Paul went on to say, getting ahead in the message, whatever he hath wronged thee, put that on my account. Put that on my account. You and I are Onesimus. Gone astray, running from God, deserving of death, meriting nothing on that credit side of the ledger, nothing profitable. Isaiah 64, 6 says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We can't even work our way out of it. Anything right and righteous that I try to do to work my way out of this mess, this debt, this hole that I'm in, all of that trying to do good is worthless. It's filthy rags in the sight of God. It's useless. It falls short of the glory that is God's alone. It's worthless. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, Isaiah tells us. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 5. In verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, no ability to pay the debt. Onesimus had no ability to pay his debt back. You and I in our sin have no ability without strength. So on the left side of this column, this ledger, we have all of our debts and they are great. All of our sin and the wages of it are death. And on the right side, all of our credit is zero, is none. When you and I had no ability to balance that thing, to cancel out the debt and to add to the profitable side. We had no way. When I had no strength to pay. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When I had no strength to do anything about this account that was standing large against me, that's when Jesus stepped in. That's when Jesus came to my aid. That's when Jesus came and did something that I could not do. And it says in verse number 1 of chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So what are you saying? My debt was large. My credit was zero. But let me talk to you, number 3, about Christ's payment. Christ's payment. He steps in, and may I say, His payment was full. My debt was large. My credit was none, but His payment was full, and may I say, it is also free. It is full and free. Would you look back with me at Romans chapter number 3? Romans 3, 23. Again, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, this is where Christ steps in. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The Bible says the payment that He made, if you look again at verse number 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be the propitiation, that's a satisfying sacrifice, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. What is the payment that's going to settle this account? What is the payment that's going to reconcile all of my debt when I have zero credit, nothing to pay? What is that payment that can be and only can be made to settle my score, to settle the debt? It is the precious blood of Jesus. It's His own blood that has been paid for the redemption. Let's define some more terms. What is a redemption in verse number 24? You see that term, redemption? It's a payment. It's a payment that liberates. It's a payment that sets free from a penalty. Onesimus, a slave, to be redeemed back to his owner, he had to first have his debt paid. He had to have what he had demerited. He had to have it paid for. And so Paul said, whatever he owes thee, Paul said, put that on my account. I'll settle it with thee. Whatever credit I have, Paul said, put it on Onesimus' account. And Jesus says to his father, Lord, whatever sins they have committed, Father, forgive them. And he puts his credit on my account. He forgives the debt with his blood. He pays the ransom for my soul with his own blood. It's the price of my debt for the remission of sins. It says here in verse 25, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins, to remit, to pardon, to release from a debt owed. Can you imagine if that debt was piled up high, so high that you could never keep up with it, and always sinning every day, and it just keeps piling up? Can you imagine if there was no escaping that? And you stand before God with that debt. And the few good things that you might have been able to do in your life is all you have to offer. And God says, that is zero credit. You have a pile of sins that must be paid for. But then Jesus steps in with His blood. And He says, Father, I went to an old rugged cross. You sent me to those people to be the remission, the propitiation, the satisfying sacrifice for Your law, for Your justice. If I get justice, you know what I get? What I deserve. But God, who is rich in mercy, He offered us mercy. You know what mercy gives me? It holds back what I deserve. It holds back what I deserve. And His grace is God giving me what I don't deserve. His credit. His record. So all of the left side of this column, Jesus pours His blood out, and those who come to Him by faith. Remember, let's go back here. Let's look at chapter 4 and verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him, that's Christ, that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. To him that worketh not but believeth. The word believing is the idea of entrusting myself and my future and my soul into His care, into His hands. So it's kind of another banking term, if you will. I am depositing, investing, entrusting my soul, my never dying soul, into the hands of an eternal God, Jesus Christ, and the payment that He set forth for my sin. I am entrusting myself into His hands. And when I do that, and if you'll do that, and when you've done that, the Lord Jesus, on that left side of the column, all of that debt that is piled up, all of that death that is at the end of that column, Jesus writes across that side, paid in full. It is paid for. As Jesus hung on the cross, one of the statements that He cried out was tetelestai, which means it is finished. It's literally meaning it's paid in full. The price is paid. The debt is marked out, and that payment has been made. The Bible says it is the gift of God, which is eternal life. Ephesians tells us it's not of works. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man could boast. It's all the glory belongs to Jesus because He blotted out all my debt when I believe on Him, when I entrust my soul into His hands. Some people say, well, I believe in God. No, no, no. Oh, I believe in Jesus. No, no, no. Have you entrusted, no other plan. It's all in Him or nothing. Right. Yeah. Jesus paid it all, or I owe it all. Right. There's no one way or the other. All on Him. When I do that, He blots it all out on the left side. And all my debt is forgiven. Paid in full. Redemption. Redeemed. It is finished. The blood atonement. And you know what Jesus did to do that? On the cross, He took all of my demerit. Everything that was owed to me on the cross, God poured it all out on Him. He said, let this cup pass from me, this cup of our sin that He would take for us. But He said, nevertheless, not my will but thine. And God put all of mine and yours and every human being that ever would live on Jesus Christ that day. He took all of our demerit, the left side of the column. God put it on Him. And God couldn't even look upon Him. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Because of all of our demerit, all of our sin that was on Him. But then when we believe on Him, He takes not only all of our demerit on Him, but over here on this column where it's zero, there's nothing, a big goose egg, God puts all of His merit on our credit side. All of His righteousness on that side. Because we're nothing. We're nothing without Him. And we're not just forgiven sinners. We're not just people who are looked at as someone who did something bad and terrible and wicked and evil and God forgave it and overlooked it. No, God now doesn't look at us like that. He looks at us as if we were His only begotten Son. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ on us, on our record in heaven. As God looks at the book, what does He see? He sees Jesus there. He doesn't see me, thank the Lord. He doesn't see my sin anymore, thank the Lord. He sees the price that His Son paid, blotted it out. It's white as snow on the debt side. On the other side, all the merit of Jesus and all of His righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him on the credit side as righteousness. And everyone, look again at verse number 5 of chapter 4, but him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God has put His, Jesus Christ's righteousness on my record. The old account was settled. When I believed, it was done just like that. One side wiped out, the other side, all the merit of the Son of God on my record. What is our response to this? Well, first of all, if you've never had that account settled, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. To every man that worketh, excuse me, that believeth on Him. Believe today. If your account hasn't been settled, what are you waiting on? Get on board the ship. Amen. He's passing by. That's right. You say, well, I am saved. What's my response? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. Account is settled. It's clear. When the old accuser comes knocking at your door, you point him at the blood. That song says, I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. Remind old Satan, there's nothing on that column on the left side. It's zero. The debt is canceled. It's forgiven. Go to Romans chapter 6. Again, our response, and I'll be done. Those who have believed on Him, our count is canceled. Romans 6, 11. He says, likewise, reckon. There's another accounting term. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. He's talking about those who've had their sin debt canceled. Reckon, even though the wage of your sin is eternal death and that's been settled, again, on the credit side, you know whose life we now live? We live Christ's life. Because He took all of our sin on Him on that side, and He carried that. And so on the other side of the column, we now live free. We can do what we want to do with our mortal bodies, but our response to what He did on the left side ought to affect what I do with the life that He gave me on the right side, on the credit side. And I ought to take that life and not yield it as instruments unto unrighteousness, because I have His righteousness. I ought to live for Him as an instrument unto righteousness. Let my life be a tool in the hand of Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Let my life, he says, magnify Him. That should be our response to the old account being settled. Amen. All my debt was great. All my credit was none. But Christ's payment was full and free, and is full and free to all who will believe on Him.